This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Tavium Plus Vapor Grip Technology Herbicide from Syngenta, the first premixed dicamba herbicide with residual control for soybeans. Always read and follow label instructions. Tavium Plus Vapor Grip Technology is a restricted use pesticide. Vapor Grip is used under license from Monsanto Technology, LLC.
Well, that was a bit harsh, wasn't it? It's almost like the markets were looking for a reason to pull prices lower. I mean, good grief. Optimism over the deal with China backed off some over the weekend, and bean futures backed off a lot to start a new week of trade.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll run a little cleanup on Friday's USDA reports. We've got Chip on hand for that deal.
Yeah.
And right after the news, Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group comments on today's market action. And in the final segment, Kerry Artak from Artak Advisory turns his launch key for another Artak attack. Chip, do you have your key for the Artak attack? We've all got to turn them at the same time.
I do. That's right. Synchronized.
I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, yeah. Davis. Yes, man. How are you doing today? Everything good?
I'm super psyched. Super fired up.
Excellent. Hey, well, you sound like it.
Yeah. I'm ready to go. I'm anxious to hear your thoughts on the reports on Friday.
Yeah.
And maybe we could open it up for calls, too. I don't
know. Absolutely.
If you feel like taking calls.
Absolutely. I feel like taking calls today. No question about it. 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us. And when you do, include hashtag AgriTalk in the message.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go right to this. I just saw it like 10 seconds before the show started.
Yeah, that's when you mentioned it to me.
Yeah, at FLF. Liz, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us, Chip, can you give us some hope? Talk to someone in Northeast Iowa LP market and have them explain their plan. We are thankful they are keeping our homes and livestock facilities supplied, but there are thousands of acres and millions of bushels of corn at stake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I empathize with that. And but the plan is, The plan is to keep the homes and the livestock facilities supplied and get to the grain drying as quick as they can, I think.
Yeah.
You explained it very well.
Mm-hmm.
in your comment here. I wish there was a different story to tell. Now, Davis, can't they still do something? And I don't know if they can actually. It's not as simple as it first sounded for Governor Reynolds
right.
to declare some sort of a state of emergency that is mm-hmm. life-threatening, whatever
right.
it is, so that the one pipeline that I think it's 4 days a week pushes butane and something else into the Chicago market
right.
would then have to pump LP into Iowa or the upper Midwest, right?
Yes, there is that special life-threatening designation, state of emergency. However, think about it. The only reason they would do that, as far as I know, and I'm not a legal scholar, but that's to cover demand for schools, hospitals, and other human-based yeah. infrastructure.
Yeah.
So even if we did get something like that in place, it would go and make sure that all of those entities are well supplied first, and
right.
then we might get some scraps from the table. And in addition to that, we've heard late last week that while that's on the table, it can take weeks to get something like that
yeah.
accomplished for some reason. And I don't
right.
understand the ins and outs. I wish I knew more. That's as far as I can inform you on it.
Yeah, the most optimistic thing that I have seen or heard as of right now was in an email this morning, and I know I've only got about 400 emails today.
Mm-hmm.
It was an email. Oh, I just stumbled on it. My gosh.
There it is.
Okay.
Right.
This is from, Minnesota Energy Resources. I got it. You
okay.
keep your clock to yourself.
I just want to make sure we stay on schedule.
I know. But it's from the Minnesota Energy Resources that suggested that this is going to last until sometime on Friday, November 15th. Mm-hmm. That suggests to me that they know something is going to free up on Friday, November 15th. Mm-hmm. Let's get to it. What moved the markets today?
Well, the grain markets were on the defensive for most of the session after President Trump said the U.S. and China have not reached an agreement to roll back existing tariffs on Chinese goods coming into the U.S. Along with word of lower Russian and European wheat prices to start the week, that was enough to send front month SOW futures through support at Friday's low. With professional trading funds now on the short side of the wheat market, traders are also concerned the weekly crop condition report could provide some incentive to stay on the sell side of wheat. December hard red futures were 1.25 cents higher at 4.22¾. December soft red futures fell 4.5 cents to close at 5.05¾. D spring wheat down 3.25, 5.15¼. Chip.
Yeah, we just need to get the funds back onto the long side of this wheat market. And right now they're just starting to build those shorts, so that's going to take a little while.
Friday's crop production report cut the national average corn yield by 1.4 bushels per acre, dropping the U.S. corn crop peg by 118 million bushels. However, usage estimates were cut by 100 million bushels, resulting in just a 19 million bushel cut to estimated 2019-20 corn ending stocks. While that's not bearish, it certainly wasn't bullish enough to turn what has become an overwhelmingly negative attitude in corn futures. December corn futures were 4 cents lower, 3.73¼. March corn fell 4.5 cents to 3.82. May corn closed at 3.88¾, down 4¾ cents. Chip.
Go ahead. There, bud.
Yep. Okay. While some traders are taking a wait-and-see approach to U.S.-China trade talks, many turned to the sell side of the bean market after President Trump declared, China wants a deal more than I do. Friday's crop production report left the bean crop peg unchanged from October, and a slight cut to the demand side of the balance sheet inched projected bean carryover up to 15 million bushels. That clearly added to the negative attitude in bean futures. Novi bean futures 14.5 lower, 9.05 even today. January beans fell 14 to close at 9.17. March beans 9.30½ today, down 13.5. Chip.
All right, let's bring in Jack Scoville from Price Futures Group. We'll get to the livestock news here in just a little bit. It's a little harsh today, Jack. It sure felt like it anyway, putting 14 cents out of the beans.
Well, it sure did. I think the president does have a little bit to do with that when he said that he was in no hurry to make a deal. You know, he may not be in a hurry to make a deal, but we sure are. We want to see business start flowing, and the longer he holds that up, the worse it becomes down the road for us. At least that's the way we feel. We've lost business because of these things before, to Japan and in Russia. So we want this resolved, and then some reports of good rains down in Brazil, I think, also added to the pressure. Looks like things are off to a pretty good start down there.
Yeah, no doubt. And when it comes to that South American weather, I'll admit, I feel like it's taken longer to make the transition over to South American weather this year, Jack, than what it normally would. I would have thought that Brazilian conditions would have been a source of more significant pressure by now.
Well, they didn't get off to that great a start. It was dry in Mato Grosso and other northern places for a while, and that did help support the market for a while. But I can remember when we really didn't care until we turned the calendar. You turn the calendar to a new year, you start paying attention to South America. So we are starting to pay much more attention to it than we used to. But these rains in the plant are very timely. They're at normal pace or maybe just a bit ahead of normal pace on getting the crop planted. So that spells good prospects for corn down the road this winter.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Jack. We'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, great.
Yep, that is Jack Scoville with the Price Futures Group. All right, we're going to look back to Friday. Crop production, supply and demand report. We'll do that next on AgriTime. Herbicides are a critical part of every grower's arsenal to fight weeds. Unfortunately, they may not be using them according to label directions. I've got Zach Trower, Agronomy Service Representative for Syngenta from Eastern Iowa, with me today. Zach, what would be the biggest mistake that growers make when they apply their herbicides?
Yeah, I'd say the biggest mistake growers make when they apply their herbicide is they just don't apply enough of it. You know, simply put, you have to follow the labeled rate and use a full labeled rate. You know, let's use an example of a new product we have, Tavium Plus Vapor Grip Technology. It's our newest soybean herbicide. That's a combination of dicamba and S-metolachlor. The labeled rate is 3.53 pints per acre per application. It's not 3 pints. It's not 3.5 pints. It's specifically 3.53 pints.
Very interesting. Why would you make the decision not to use a full rate?
You know, I think there's a lot of things out here on the market today. I think there's a little bit of misinformation. You know, some guys will be sitting there saying, well, you know, you can get by with this right now. You can, you know, this works. This is what I did. I cut the rate a little bit, and this worked for me. You know, to complicate this, let's look at the crop prices, right? I mean, I'm a farmer. My family's farmers. You know, I'm realistic that I understand depressed crop prices make some of these decisions a little difficult. And, you know, the guys are trying to cut costs, and they're like, hey, if I cut this rate down enough, it'll work. And, you know, I saved a little money. We have to end up using more and more, and eventually won't be able to use it anymore.
Yeah, and you've got to do it in a timely fashion before those weeds get too tall, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I kind of have a saying here, and when I talk about it, it doesn't matter if you're from Illinois or Nebraska or wherever, I tell everybody, spray black dirt. You know, don't let the weeds even come up. Get your residual to the ground and try to kill those weeds before they ever emerge. And that's about the best way. But I'm also a realist. I understand when you farm 1,000, 2,000 acres, that's not real. So, you know, we have to spray small weeds. Or if you think you see green out there, that is the best time to go out and apply a herbicide.
Very good. Hey, everybody, visit www.resistancefighter.com to learn more about how to fight resistance development. That is Zach Trower, agronomy service representative from Syngenta, explaining why it's important to always use those full labeled rates. Always read and follow label instructions. Tavium Plus Vapor Grip Technology is a restricted use pesticide. Vapor Grip is used under license from Monsanto Technology, LLC.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
For the first time ever, Hemp College will be co-hosted with AgTech Expo, and Indianapolis will be the one location for both technology and hemp production. The Hemp College panel of experts will cover a variety of topics focused on agronomics and marketing of industrial hemp. Then switch into AgTech Expo with more than 25 educational breakout sessions covering precision ag, usable data, machinery demos, sustainable technology, and more. Sign up for both events now at farmjournalagtech.com.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-806-9013.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-806-9013. That's 800-806-9013.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
This just in from the front lines of the fight against tough weeds in soybean fields. Growers have taken the next step with the ultimate secret weapon, Fierce brand herbicides from Valent USA. These pre-emergence herbicides protect soybean fields with multiple effective modes of action, residual control that lasts up to 8 weeks, and fierce resistance management to help you win the battle against resistant weeds and the war. Ask your retailer or visit valent.com/fierce to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions.
You can't see them, but they're coming for your soybeans. Pythium, Phytophthora, and soybean cyst nematodes are serious threats, and they require serious seed protection. Valent USA has developed a 1-2-punch defense so growers can take the next step in soybean protection. Intego Sweet Soybeans has 4 powerful modes of action against insects and diseases that work in tandem with Aveo Easy Nematicide to stop soybean pests and diseases before they strike. Find out more at soybeanprotection.com. Always read and follow label instructions.
When you're really hungry, sometimes only the leftovers can fill you up. We're serving up a big portion of Tuesday's meatloaf right now on AgriTalk.
All right. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Glad that you could join us today. I'm Chip. That's Davis.
You know, if the meatloaf went in the fridge last Tuesday.
How was it a big old steaming pile?
I don't know if I'd even feed it to the kids. You know?
I don't know either. Yeah.
This meatloaf was cooked up on Friday.
You know, just a little bit of time in the microwave and we've got it steaming again. Give us a call. We're talking about whatever you want to talk about today. It's 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us. And when you do, include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. That way I will be sure to see it. Mm-hmm. Or it'll at least give me higher odds of seeing it. Okay. Let's go straight to the crop production report.
Hey,
Before we do that, let's do livestock news, right?
I was going to say, I don't know if you want to throw that in here quick.
Yeah, I do.
We'll do it real fast. Okay. Professional trading funds are solidly on the long side of cattle futures and stepped up to defend those positions in today's trade. December cattle were 62.5 cents higher at 119.87.5, and Feb cattle gained 125.67.5. Novi feeders up 57.5 cents to 147.57.5. And on the snout side, President Trump's comments that he has not agreed to roll back existing tariffs on Chinese goods entering the U.S. weighed on nearby lean hog futures. December hogs were 82.5 cents lower at 63.30. Feb lean hogs dipped 7.5, 73.72.5. All right.
Okay. Very good. Let's get to it. So, the trend on corn yield. I was wrong.
Okay.
From September to October, they went up 0.2 of a bushel, and that's not much of a move, but I've always said that 1 month on the crop production reports does make a trend. Mm-hmm. So it's been a choppy son of a gun for this corn yield estimate because USDA took 1.4 bushels per acre off the national average corn yield, took it down to 167 bushels per acre, and we've got a lot of corn left out there, mm-hmm. and the weather stinks.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to leave corn in the field.
Yes.
Longer than what we want to because we can't get the gas to dry it in the upper Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, is it a problem over east? Have you heard anything on that, Davis?
Not yet. I heard from, we had a listener call me last week from Ohio.
Yeah.
And he had heard some rumblings that there may be some problems later on, but nothing specific that I can pinpoint. Okay. And he was fairly well supplied. I do know that there's a natural gas line that runs through a very convenient portion of Ohio farm country there that a lot of farmers have taken advantage of.
Right.
But as you said this morning, there may be problems with nat gas coming up here too. So.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that priority one in that part of the world that is much more populated than it mm-hmm. is out here
mm-hmm.
is making sure that homes have all the fuel that they need to stay warm.
Yes.
So even if there is a lighter requirement on gas for drying, I believe that they're filling that need over there a little easier than what they are here in the Western Corn Belt, the Central and the Western Corn Belt.
Yeah, okay? Just on the basis of population, yeah.
Right. So here we are. We've got we'll find out in about 45, even less than that now, about 40 minutes, just how much corn is still left out there in the field. But it's going to be a pile in North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, parts of Iowa, parts of Nebraska. There's going to be a lot of corn left out there that needs to find its way to the grain bin. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to happen for a while. So with that in mind, I've got to believe that sticking with the 1 month does make a trend. We've now got a downtrend in the national average corn yield that would point us lower into the January annual production summary. We don't get a crop update in December, so we've got to wait until January now. But I got to believe that the trend is down, and with the environmental conditions that we are looking at out there, again, I think we're looking at downside pressure.
It seems like around August, around the crop tour time, and even into USDA's reports and stuff, there was a lot of talk about ear counts. How might those ear counts impact be impacted if corn is left standing in the field?
We can't get to it.
We can't, you know.
Only going lower. Only going lower. That's the only thing that's going to happen to those those ear counts at this point. There's no way that we should anticipate anyway that ear counts would go up from what were from what was indicated in the report on Friday. Okay, if it does, something stinks. So no, let's not make that assumption. Let's just make the assumption that if there are any changes to ear counts, that it's going to be to the downside. Okay. Now, on the demand side, they took 100 million bushels off of total demand for corn, took 25 million out of the feed and residual category, which, doggone it, it's like they don't believe their own numbers, the World Board, sometimes.
Okay.
Because for the 2018-19 marketing year, we've got this feed and residual estimate in there now at 5.618 billion bushels. And everybody just simply makes the assumption, including me, that the reason that they had to jack up that feed and residual category on the old crop is because they overestimated last year's corn crop, and they've got to bring that number down. So you jack up your use and the residual component of the feed and residual category, and it pulls down your total supply to reflect that smaller than they've estimated corn crop. What if that's not the case? What if the production last year was 14.42 billion bushels? What if our feed and residual use really was 5.618 billion bushels? You got a record number of cattle. Well, we're backing off a little bit there. We've got a large amount of cattle on feed. We got a record number of hogs on feed. We got a record number of birds on feed. It's the idea that we pushed our total consumption up sharply from the year before, up about 300 million bushels. Why can't we go there? But everybody, like I said, including me, made the assumption that it's because they got the crop wrong. What if they finally got the usage right? Well, if that's the case, here we are with 5.618 billion bushels for the 2018-19 marketing year, and we've got the 2019-20 marketing year estimated at 5.275, down 25 million bushels from last month. Come on. What if it's 5.5? What if it's 5.6? All of a sudden, 1.91 billion bushels for carryover is way too high. So it created more questions for me than it gave me answers on that one.
Yeah, I guess my question about that, and I'm very well acquainted with your thoughts on how all of this works, but why would they not just go through? And if they thought the numbers for 18 were incorrect, or this number or that number needed to be adjusted, just red pen the sucker, make the correction, rather than trying to slide that use elsewhere, or, you know, oh, doggone it, we found another. Why wouldn't they just come out with it instead of trying to shade it by fudging the numbers?
Well, because the long-term adjustments to the production, to the crop estimates, have always come in the census of agriculture that's done every 5 years.
Okay.
So the 17 census of agriculture, I think there was released sometime in 18. and there are adjustments to the previous 5 years in there. Well, but I agree with you, and I think the leaders at the National Ag Statistics Service now believe that what you say is right as well, because there is talk that going forward, if there is a change required to the previous year's corn crop, like they do with the bean crop, if that change is required once the September 1 quarterly grain stocks report is released, if they see a change that is needed, they go ahead and make that adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
They are considering it. Tells you one of two things. Yeah, they probably missed last year's corn crop. They probably overestimated that. The other thing that it tells you is that if there is an issue with it going forward, the leadership at NAS wants to get it corrected sooner rather than later going forward, which I think is a good thing.
Behooves us all.
It sends the proper market signals to us all. Okay, we're going to jump over to beans when we come back right here on AgriTalk.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
It's time for AgriTalk's Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught joins us. Dan, what's the market move that matters the most today?
Hey, Chip, I'm looking at January lumber futures today. After spiking to a record high over $600 per 110,000 board feet in mid-2018 and eventually bottoming around 285 last May, the lumber market has been working its way higher. The most active January contract posted an impressive $60 surge mid-October to last Monday's high at 423.70, which represented a nine-month high on the continuation chart. The rally ran out of gas and futures suffered a big setback, but have found solid support around 390 the past three sessions. The strong U.S. economy, along with the Fed's recent interest rates cuts, seem likely to stimulate construction activity and lumber demand. I think lumber prices are going to keep climbing.
Oh, that's not good for home building and all that kind of good stuff. Thank you, Dan. That is Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught. Pro Farmer members, get your daily advice updates at profarmer.com.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
Five conferences, one location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the five highly regarded top producer conferences, Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and, for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It doesn't matter what you grow or how many acres you farm. Commodity Classic will help you become an even better farmer.
You don't have to be a big farmer to come here. You know, I could tell you a 1,000, 1,500 acre grower or a 500 acre grower is going to value these things, and he's going to do a lot better job when he leaves here. You know, it's going to make him more conscious of what's going on his farm than ever before.
Commodity Classic, February 27th through 29th in San Antonio. Visit CommodityClassic.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you could join us today. I'm Chip, got Davis Michelson with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, before we get back to the conversation, Davis, go ahead and recap how the markets closed.
Well, sure thing. December hard red futures 1 1/4 cents higher at 422 3/4. Dec soft red futures off 4.5 cents, 505 3/4. December corn futures 4 cents lower, 373 1/4. March corn fell 4.5 cents to 382. November bean futures 14 1/2 cents lower, 905 even. Jan beans off 14 to close at 917. December cattle were 62.5 cents higher at 119.87.5. November feeders up 57.5 cents to 147.57.5. And December hogs were 82.5 cents lower at 63.30. Well, that's your quick market recap. Back to you, Chip.
Right. It's all right. It's a Monday. It'll
beans
come
off. Beans off 14 today.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a stinker. So.
Yeah, it really is. They leaned on them a little harder than what I thought they might. But we'll get to that here in just a second, because
okay.
I do want to talk a little bit more about the demand side of corn, because they took another 50 million bushels out of the corn export estimate. And yeah, I know. I think our corn export bookings pace right now is somewhere just south of 20% of what we were a year ago at this time.
Okay.
Yeah, it stinks. But we continue to look at that basis, right? And you've got basis continues to trade stronger than what it should be at this time of the year. Now, the drawn-out harvest, we had Dr. John Newton, the chief economist for American Farm Bureau Federation, on the free-for-all on Friday in the morning show. We talked about this basis and what is going on there. And just the simple fact that some of these end users have contracts that suppliers are unable to fill may be lifting that basis. Good argument. Good argument. Doesn't mean that the corn isn't there. It's just out of position. And by out of position, it's still in the dadgum field is where it is. So the corn that has come in, we put the gas on it, we put it in the bin. The contracts that were supposed to be filled with new crop supplies for these end users are now on delay because the crop is still out in the field. Once that demand is, this is going to sound really kind of strange, but once that demand is filled and we start to put some corn into stocks, into storage, then we might start to see that basis back off. When we see that basis back off, which I would suspect that it would for the second half of the marketing year, just simply because 1.9 billion bushels of corn projected to be left over at the end of the marketing year is enough corn. If you don't have solid export demand, if you filled the initial requirements for the domestic users, then that should allow that basis to soften up. If we soften up basis, maybe then we see our importers, he said, hey, now is the time to step in there and get some coverage, because all of a sudden U.S. corn prices are competitive with Ukraine. U.S. corn prices are competitive with Argentina. But it's that cash market and the basis that we're dealing with that's making it tough to get much export demand in here. It's not the only reason, but it's one of the reasons, without a doubt. Without a doubt, Davis.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if we back that basis off, we can get some of this export demand back. But boy, how bad are exports expected to be this year? You go back to the 2017-18 marketing year, and our exports were 2.438 billion bushels.
Oof.
2.438. You go back to a year ago, the 18-19, 2.065. And here we are at 1.85. Ouch, man.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the category that needs to be good to use up those quote-unquote surplus stocks and give us a better opportunity going forward. So, yeah, tough situation there. It is, and it's not just a function of overall supplies. It's a function of basis. It's a function of where the stocks are. But, you know, think about it. If we don't get some gas back in place here, Davis, and guys just decide, no, we're going to leave the corn out in the field.
Yep.
What happens when we start doing the survey for the December 1 quarterly grain stocks report?
That could be a startling report.
Oh, it could be, because we're going to lose corn because the corn hasn't been harvested yet. Therefore, it's not in storage unless you're going to consider the cornfield storage.
Now, I know that there's got to be a certain segment of the good people listening who are saying, yep, it's the government. They're artificially doing what they need to do with agriculture to fix
it. It's just hard right now. It is just hard to find the right answer.
Yeah, yeah.
2019 is we're going to look back at this for a pile of reasons. We are going to look back at 2019 and go, man, oh man, I hope that never happens again. I think what we're setting up here for on corn and the corn stocks is, I wouldn't call it a repeat of what we saw in 2009-2010 with that 2009 crop, but it could be very similar because harvest was very late. I think it pulled down our DEES stocks. And then our March 1 stocks jumped up, and then all of a sudden it was, wait a second, that corn, it really wasn't there to begin with. And we pulled – so we lost corn, we added corn, we lost corn. I think – I believe, if my memory is right, I believe that's how it happened in that 2009-10 marketing year. I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see something like that happen again this year, Davis.
Okay, yeah. Well, it feels like somebody flipped a switch – at January 1 this year, and everything has just gone haywire ever since.
That's exactly right. It's weird, man.
I have no explanation.
It's wild, wacky stuff is what
it absolutely is.
Okay, beans. No change on the supply side at all.
Again.
What is the deal with that? 3.55 billion bushels on the crop.
Yeah.
Left the yield unchanged at 46.9 bushels per acre. I still feel like there's room to the downside.
I do too.
We'll find out here in 20 minutes how much of the bean crop is still left out there in the field on Veterans Day 2019. But goodness gracious, it's weird that there was, and hey, maybe it's because there is so much of the crop left out there in the field. Maybe that is exactly why there was no change. And when you punt on the November report, then you punt for 2 months.
Right.
Because you get out to the January annual production summary. Right. So this is like, I mean, this is a 2 minute warning and a timeout, everything at the end of the game, getting as much time as you possibly can.
And we got to decide if we're going to send in the kicking team or if we're going to send the cheerleaders out for more beer. I mean, we don't know what to do at this point. I vote for the latter.
Latter, yes. on the demand side, very little change. What they did was they took 15 million bushels out of the U.S. crush number. Okay.
That seems like an odd spot for that.
It's exactly. That's a lot of fine-tuning for this early in the year, if you ask me.
Yeah.
And you know what? 15 million bushels is not insignificant. And listen to me. We need to get the information and the most accurate estimate out there to the market as soon as we possibly can.
Right.
And then I turn around and call it fine-tuning.
Yeah, too much
detail. I would fit in really good at Casey's and coffee shops around the world.
Well, you know what we're doing? We're walking around an issue so that we can see every angle. That's what we're doing.
Is that it?
Sure. Why not?
Yeah. They took 15 million bushels out of crush because the crush pace is too slow. There. Mm-hmm. So we're at 2.105. They left the exports unchanged to 1.775 billion bushels, added 15 million bushels to the ending stock projection. We're now at 475 million bushels. But keep this in mind, that is down from 913 million bushels.
Okay.
And if you want to get even more dramatic on it,
do it.
It was down from 1,040 million, something like that, earlier this year. So we have hacked away because of the smaller crop. And because, I guess, demand holding in there as well as it has, that we can that we can get our carryover down here to 475 million bushels. But when you look at the global numbers, okay?
Yeah.
Soybeans, 76.26 million metric tons, down from up slightly from 76.19 million metric tons in October. But it is down from 90.28 million metric tons in the 2018-19 marketing year. This is sans China, without China in there.
Right, right.
So we've got the trend going in the right direction on soybeans. We've got the trend going in the right direction on corn. 108.74 million metric tons for global corn ending stocks in 2018-19 marketing year. 100.66 million metric tons for the 2019-20. Wheat, not so much. 138 this year, 138 last year, 143 this year.
Yep.
Okay. So we've got a little bit of work to do on those trends there, but we are getting them in the right direction.
Can I be the first one to say it?
What?
Well, these January reports, looks like somebody's going to be surprised. Am I the first one to say that?
Take us out.
Well, in January, looks like somebody's going to be surprised. AgriCat?
I love it. Carrie Artak. Artak Advisory up next.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
5 conferences, 1 location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the 5 highly regarded top producer conferences: Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and, for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
And then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Pivot BioProven is the first ever nitrogen-producing microbe that supplies nitrogen directly to the plant, helping maximize yield. Just ask Zach from Oklahoma.
The average was about a 5 to 6 bushel an acre benefit. Not only is that more money in my pocket, but it's less money I had to spend on fertilizer and wear and tear on my side dressing sprayer.
Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for. The nitrogen that stays put, whether or not.
For the first time ever, Hemp College will be co-hosted with AgTech Expo, and Indianapolis will be the one location for both technology and hemp production. The Hemp College panel of experts will cover a variety of topics focused on agronomics and marketing of industrial hemp. Then switch into AgTech Expo with more than 25 educational breakout sessions covering precision ag, usable data, machinery demos, sustainable technology, and more. Sign up for both events now at farmjournalagtech.com.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Welcome back. Glad that you could join us. I'm Chip. Got Davis.
Yep.
Real quick note. You've got to be out away from the studio tomorrow afternoon, and so do I.
I'm afraid so. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bubba and Betsy, the B&B show.
Oh, that'll be exciting.
Yeah.
You're not going to want to miss that, everybody. I tell you what, I've hosted with Bubba, geez, twice. Seems like in the last couple of weeks. Maybe yeah. That's not right. I can tell you
probably.
I always wind up sweaty after we're done with those shows. It's no joke. Like today I'm sitting here, I'm looking for my little gloves without the fingers in them. It's very cold in here. Usually is. Man. Just open the chute and just let him go, Betsy. That's my advice. Open the chute, let him go.
Let him go. Don't try to hold the reins.
If you try to fight it, he'll take you down.
That's right. At Hawkeye Hamer, on-farm corn stocks and commercial storage is going to be funky in these parts, too. A lot of corn going to town that was never intended for commercial storage, but farm dryer gas has forced the hand of some that want to keep harvesting. So, these D1 corn stocks could be a very interesting report.
Yeah.
Real quick, I got to do this before we get to the to carry. 6 to 10 day, November 17th through the 21st, we've got mostly normal to above normal temperatures coming into the Midwest and above normal precipitation. Now, the below normal temperatures hang on out in Ohio and Indiana. But when you jump to the 8 to 14 day, which is for November 19th through the 25th, the entire United States is expected to see above normal temperatures. I'm including Alaska.
So Jan-vember switches to June-vember.
Yes, with above normal rains that November 19th through the 25th. Crazy. Let's bring him in. Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory. How are you, Kerry?
I'm doing great, Chip. Thanks for having me again.
You bet. You bet. Let's get right to it. Jump in there with corn.
Yeah, December corn. We closed today 373 and a quarter. I received a near-term sell signal last week that remains in effect this week below 382 even, expecting continued price erosion over the next 2 or 3 weeks down to that 354 even long-term support level where we can actually bottom out through next year. Holding above 354 even should actually yield 430 even, say, by next spring or sooner, and possibly even higher into next summer. Upside this week, 382 even, that level I mentioned, it can contain weekly buying pressures, and as I mentioned, below which 354 even expected over the next 2 to 3 weeks. But if we close the week Friday above 382 even, that would indicate a good November low. 398 even, then expected over the next 2 to 3 weeks where we can top out through December. And 398 even is also the point to settle above for indicating that 430 even longer-term ceiling I mentioned a moment ago within a mere 3 to 5 weeks where we can top out through winter trade. But bottom lining this, we remain bearish through the balance of November below 382 even, expecting yet another test of that long-term support level at 354 even over that time horizon.
Okay.
On to Jan beans. I received a sell signal today in Jan beans that remains in effect below 931 and three quarter. We closed at 917 even. So 931 and three quarter is our overhead ceiling now. Really through the balance of the year, I am expecting 865 even by January contract expiration, where the broader bean market can actually bottom out into next spring. Now, upside, if we close Friday back above 931 and three quarter, that would neutralize today's midterm sell signal. And with that, I would expect 999 even, say by the end of this year, possibly by the end of January, somewhere in there, where the broader bean market can top out through next spring. So bottom lining this, 931 and three quarter, significant overhead pivot point through the balance of the year and below which 865 even is now likely by January expiration. December live cattle, we closed 119.87. This market remains bullish through winter above 114.10. Expecting 124 even by the end of the year, the broader cattle market in reach of 132 even over the next 3 to 5 months, where it can top out into next summer. Now, downside, if we close the week Friday below 114.10, that would be considered a failed longer-term buy signal from about 2 weeks ago. And with that, I would then expect continued price erosion into December trade, the 101.5 to 103.5 region, and then expect it over the next couple of months where the broader cattle market can bottom out into next spring. If you want, I can squeeze in some lean hogs here real quick.
Yeah, jump on it.
Yeah, 63.30, we closed the day. I just want to mention that 58.30, about five handles below the market, is long-term support where the broader lean hog market can bottom out into next spring, and above which 75 even is attainable by the end of January. But if we close the week Friday below 58.30, look out. We're looking for a retest of the 2016 low at 40.70 over the following 2 to 3 months. So 58.30, we're above it. It is our floor, can contain selling into next spring.
Gotcha.
And that's all I got.
All right, Kerry. Hey, don't forget, Kerry has a 2-week free trial waiting for you at rtacadvisory.com. Thank you, Kerry. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Chip. Take care.
You bet. You bet. Okay. Hey, you know what? We didn't do it at the start of the show, and we are going to end the show or come close to ending the show with it.
Yes.
But a heartfelt thank you to all the veterans out there for your service and your sacrifice. We take November 11th every year to recognize that service and sacrifice. But believe me when I say that here at AgriTalk,
yes,
we appreciate it each and every day that we get to live and work in this great country and do what we do.
That we do.
And it's because of you. It's because of those veterans, Davis.
It is. It is. We owe them a debt of gratitude, both those that came home and unfortunately those that were left behind. Thank you, everyone, for your service, and we appreciate you.
Very much. Very much. All right. Send it home on a high note. Tweet of the day.
Today's tweets are brought to you by Getting Your Head Straight. If they say the best psychologist is the one inside your head, does that mean the best doctor is the one inside your tractor cab? And now today's tweets at Glenn Newcomb.
No.
Okay. I've had it with this cold. I've tried everything. So the only thing left to do is to try going to the doctor's office. Can't remember the last time I went in for a stupid cold, he says. At CB Kimbrough, my teachers told me to get a college degree or I'd end up flipping burgers. I guess they were right. Well, he's got the grill going. I mean, how bad can it be for the guy?
Well,
and
right.
One more at Pinch Honky. Had to tape my finger back on. Looks like he used a little duct tape. I'm not sure if it's surgically sound, but as long as she holds, you know.
Hey.
Good luck to you. Good luck to you.
A little super glue and duct tape goes a long way for something like that.
Mm-hmm. Doctor's right in the tractor cab.
That's right. All right. Thank you so much for listening today. Thank you also to Jack Scoville and to Kerry Artak for joining us. You got to come back tomorrow morning. We're going to have the latest on the biodiesel tax credit. For Davis and producer Joe Stackler, have a great night.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer editor and AgriTalk market analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Thanks to Tavium Herbicide from Syngenta for sponsoring this AgriTalk podcast. With Tavium, time's up for tough weeds. Visit www.syngentaus.com/tavium to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions. Tavium Plus Vapor Grip technology is a restricted-use pesticide. Vapor Grip is used under license from Monsanto Technology, LLC.